Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Dave Giesling, who's the CEO with Floor Expo. Dave, how you doing?
Doing great, Kemp. How you doing?
I'm well. I wanted to catch up with you because I just last week went to the Floor Covering Industry Foundation Gala in New York and walked around cocktail hour time, talked to a lot of people in many of the different sectors of the business, and heard that the retail replacement business is flat. Learned that the commercial business is up a little bit. I mean, it's looking a little better than it's been in the last couple of years, so there's promise there. And I wanted to check in with you and find out what's going on in the builder market. Tell me what you're seeing out there.
First of all, you're right. There are different performance levels in all three channels right now. And in that case, really, we subdivide residential contract into two, the single family and multifamily.
Right.
We started in about 2012, really effectively releasing some pent-up demand after the big decline in, you know, late 08 and 9 and 10. And business has been pretty good and predictable to some extent. It has been steady growth. And I'm not sure that it's necessarily driven by a sustainable economic recovery per se, more so than it is just simply by having released a little bit of pent-up demand and built up some momentum. And I'd say we're on a pretty good pace now, Kemp, to attain what I'd call a normal level, maybe around 1.2 million units sometime in 17.
Yeah.
But I would also tell you that you can take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
Because nobody really knows right now. Your forecast with the big banks or the NAHB is a little bit across the board. I mean, we had a spread going into 2015. If you looked at the Goldman Sachs and B of A, Wells Fargo, they were all in that 18 to 24% window in terms of forecasting growth for this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're certainly riding some of that momentum right now. We're also taking a pretty good bit of share in the channel, both in single and multifamily. And we're seeing to some extent, and it's more market driven than we'd like for it to be, but an improvement in mix as well. So those three pieces are important to us. And like I'm telling you right now, as we can see, you know, maybe 2 years ahead or so, things look pretty solid in residential contract. And I think on the retail side, we're disconnected from that a little bit, as you know.
Right.
But it all gets back to that consumer, and we hear a lot of news these days about how low unemployment is, but we don't hear a lot of talk about the labor participation rate. I'm not so sure where people feel so good on that side of the business quite yet, and hopefully that will change soon.
Actually, they've got a little bit more disposable income thanks to the drop in prices at the pump, but I think they're just putting that in the savings is what we're hearing. Let me just mirror what you just said. You're looking for what we would consider a normal home building rate of 1.2 million units a year. You know, it peaked, it got way up there to above 1.5, then went down below 600. But you don't think we're going to see that for another year and a half. So if we get a little closer to looking at just what's going on today, we've run a couple news stories that maybe you could give us your feedback on. Just earlier this week, we ran this story where three of the six largest publicly traded building companies are talking about a 19% increase in orders. Is that a spike, or is that kind of what everybody was expecting?
I think it's about certainly within the range of what we've expected going into this year. And I just, you know, again, would exercise caution and temper those expectations because things have been prone to move rather dramatically and rather quickly. You know, last year going into 14, generally speaking, the widely accepted forecast was we would see about a 30% increase in single family units. And by the time we got to March, labor became a pretty big problem. In other words, you could sell them, but you couldn't build them. That readjusted down. I think in March it adjusted to 6%, 7%, somewhere in that range. And I'm not so sure last year that we didn't do much better than flat, really, at the end of the day. Again, it's starts, permits, and how we measure and account for these things. But it certainly, we were nowhere near approaching 30% last year. I'd say so far this year, Kent, you know, it's falling generally in line with what we anticipated.
Okay. All right. So you just mentioned something that I think is pretty crucial, this availability of labor. There's another issue, actually a couple of other issues when it comes to the movement of new homes. One of them is how much does it cost today to build a home, you know, versus what's out there in the existing housing market. One of the stories we're running actually on Floor Daily today by a Realty Track story that says home prices are rising 13 times faster than wages. You know, that's a concern. Then the other concern is the availability and how difficult is it to convince a bank to give you a mortgage. So those are still two hurdles, aren't they?
They are indeed. Financing is still tight. Mm-hmm. No question about it. And I think if you look at the channel, you have two primary areas where there's a hit. That first time buyer arena, you know, 25-27% of the buyers, give or take, are having a difficult time. You know, the student loans and things of that nature still on the books. And so financing is very tight there. And then you've got a, you know, 10-12% of the community is still impaired from the downturn, bankruptcies and, you know, things of that nature. And so you're dealing with, you have those numbers up, some 30-35% of the market that is not fully engaged still to this moment.
All right, let's shift to one other little thing, and then we'll wrap it up. When I went to your conference at Lake Tahoe, beautiful place for a meeting, by the way, I got to compliment you. But when I went to that, one of your seminars was about this labor issue, and more specifically, installer labor issue. Is that still a big concern with your members?
It's a major concern.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to be a major concern. Yeah, if you back up a few steps and look at spring of 14, what really hit, and it hit the radar in Colorado before it hit anywhere else, was, you're not talking flooring installation, you're just talking labor to build the entire house. And the cost of labor went up dramatically because supply obviously is down, and it finally hit a ceiling where either A, the home buyer was not willing to pay that price, or B, the bank was not willing to finance it. That's where we hit the skids. No, it continues to be a major challenge, and we're dealing with it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's also, if you deal with it effectively, we talk about this with members all the time, it's a competitive advantage. You don't have to be but just a little bit better than the competition and when it comes to the labor piece to drive the market right now.
So having labor is a competitive advantage, right?
No question about it.
Yeah. All right, great, Dave. Well, it's great to catch up with you and hear a little bit more about your outlook on the builder market. Again, been talking to Dave Giesling, who's CEO with Floor Expo, a membership organization that focuses on single-family, multifamily flooring contracting. And you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDeli.net.